Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight, oh man, am I excited. Tonight, man, we're going to have another awesome topic that we're going to talk about that impact this industry of music. But before we go there, go to the throne and thank God for giving us these gifts and these talents that he allow us to express ourselves collectively, together as a community. Lord, we bless that you bless. We ask that you bless every mind, every ear that is tuned in, locked and loaded to this program for the education purpose of this, for their craft. God, please help them to get what they want as far as their destiny, as long as they take in consideration of the one who has given them the gift. We ask you to bless them in Jesus' name as we pray. Amen. All right, guys, tonight we're talking, is there a lack of originality in today's music? The music scene has changed over many years, you know. A lot of technology have come into play. And, I mean, there's some good and there's some bad with technology. But the question is, has technology changed it where we become complacent to the fact that we can only rely on technology? Could we express ourselves with our natural gift, what we get has given us, like our vocals? Does everything throughout the whole song? I'm not saying that the technology don't help to help you reach a certain range or anything in your song. But does the whole song have to be taken over by a computer? Are there any leaders today? Has the talent been compromised? The industry lowered its standard and accept everything as long as you look good. They're putting you in. They put you on blast, and talent, it doesn't matter. Those are the questions that we're going to dig into tonight. And before we go too deep into it, let's go ahead and welcome our guest Legs to the show. Legs is a professional dancer, by the way, and he's attuned to all the music that's out there. He's a teacher. Great guy, by the way. Just to let you guys know, I'm gonna let him introduce himself and tell you his and get to his opening statement. Legs, welcome to Hip Hop National. You now have the floor.
Yo, what's up? What's happening out there, World Blog Talk Radio? First, I want to thank my man Poetic for having me. Of course, it's always an honor. My name is Daddy Long Legs, DJ Legs. I'm both a b-boy and a DJ, and I've been involved in the music scene, in the dance scene for a good 18 years now, so it's been a while. And just doing my thing, just making my rounds, and just blessed by God to just, you know, be alive and well and thriving music and dance scene. So appreciate you having me.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure having you on again. Now, Lex, my question for you is, what's your opening statement for tonight's topic? Is there a lack of originality in today's music? I know you're exposed to a lot of music out there. Do you think it's been watered down with the same old, same old?
Yeah, well, before I get into anything, first I want to say, man, I really, really dig the way you open your show. You know, you pray before you get into topics and stuff, and that's really awesome because that's what really makes the progression happen, putting God first with everything. But in terms of your question, I think most of us, and if you're really in tune with hip-hop music or hip-hop culture as a whole, you know that originality has really been sucked out of the whole infrastructure of hip-hop throughout the years. So I, for one, am one of those people that really really assumed a position firmly in my belief that there is a very big lack of creativity, ingenuity in the music scene, especially because we have to remember that we are in the biggest corporate side of music, pop music in America right now than ever before. Whereas, 20-something years ago, you know, hip-hop was a much smaller entity, you know, it was still experimental, and people were going about their inside of a box because, you know, people didn't really know how to take the music scene. Not that, you know, they've made billions of dollars and raped it over the coals a thousand times over. We're in this, like, big, huge universe of music culture where everything has just been taken, you know, light years right ahead, up and down. So, and I think with that comes a big degradation of music itself in culture because, you know, it's great that, you know, artists experimental, but they're cross-pollinating genres of music and styles and stuff. But with that also comes spoilage. Spoilage meaning on the technical side of music, how the music is made, how the artist perform the music. You know, the internet has a, you know, we all love the internet. I mean, I use it, you know, a lot myself for what I do, but also help degrade the music as well because artists don't work as hard. So it does create a lack of creativity. You know, people are not going into the studio with the manual means to create music in live bands or, you know, even before, you know, the drum machines, you know, that's how hip hop came up, you know, through drum machines and electronic sounds. But there was still a manual approach to it. You know, you still went in and you played those machines like an artist, you know what I mean? But today people are just, they're letting the machines take over. So that pretty much creates the lack of creativity, you know, and for the fact that people can put together a music video like within a mere couple of days, you know, just come out and have someone shoot a quick video and edit it up on a computer. All of those things suck the life out of our music culture. So that's kind of like a quick, you know, a quick overview of how I feel about it. And probably a lot of other artists and musicians and people that are involved in the music scene.
Thanks, Legs, man. That was an awesome opening statement. I'm going to bring in Raw Dog. This is my brother in the storm, and he's actually, you know, helping me navigate through this thing. Raw Dog, welcome to the
podcast. Hey, good evening, Poetic. Good evening, Legs.
What's up, man?
You know what? I think you guys are going to, later on during the show, throw me under the bus. I can feel it coming, but I agree with him and I disagree with him to an extent. I'm going to tell you why.
Well, you're entitled to that, buddy.
Well, no. And thank you, Poetic. I appreciate that. But I also know that it's going to go that same way with you. So I know where you're standing already. You go tell Legs, grab his arms. I got his feet. We're going to throw him under. I know how you do this. But I'm going to say this like this, you know. In the subject that you're talking about tonight, you know, I can remember when vinyl was only of the groups that had proven themselves to be professionals, and you'd only hear them over the radio. And I remember, you know, Friday nights, Saturday nights, going to the club, and they'd have a band. And you'd go, and your hopes were that band was going to be good, but sometimes they weren't. Sometimes they were just, all right, or they weren't in tune and what have you, or they didn't show you the skills that you thought you paid your entrance fee to get in was worth, you know? I mean, you know, and so when we talk about the hip-hop music and the lyrics and what have you, now that you can do it on computer, it's the same as bands on each block in the neighborhood when I grew up. You know, groups of musicians and what have you. There are going to be some that are going to rise to the top, and you're going to want to hear them on the radio. And then there's others they haven't got a clue. You know, so you know, when you start talking about the music, I mean, you really can't go and pick the bands in the good days, back in the days, you know. You'd go and hear a band and you'd see them as they start to climb the ladder and the popularity and the word of mouth, oh, those guys were good. But you had to be there to hear it. Well, you know, what about the band that wasn't so good? Now we put in a CD or we turn on and we listen to, and since it's a computer and there's so many computers and that makes it a band of people on every block, you're going to have to weed out the better quality and what you want to hear, you know, and it turns into mainstream, you know. So, you know, there's two ways to look at that, this issue, you know. And I think the electronics, once they learn, Now, that means you have to, knowing a scale, knowing instruments, knowing the sounds. The new technology, they will be able to apply the same 12 notes that someone else used in their own patterns. But right now, they're just learning. You know, this part of the industry is moving so fast with the technology to create music with that, you know, they haven't got it right yet. But when they do and the glitches fall out of it and it falls into people that can't afford the big studio prices for programs and what have you, you're going to see a lot of young people that are creative, that are going to be the innovators of hip-hop as it goes, you know. And, you know, it's funny because Pharrell and people like him and, you know, Timberland, they were hip-hop. Now they kind of slid over into the R&B. I think Pharrell did something with, I think it was Chuck Brown, that he did the guitar part for, I forget the group, Niles Rogers. That's who I'm speaking of, Niles Rogers. And he did it for the group Daft Punk. So, you know, that crossed into another genre, but he was hip-hop. He's still hip-hop. He can still go back, but the older you get, the deeper you get. And, you know, who's the crowd that buys the hip-hop? You know, I guess that's the question that everybody wants to know. You know, who's the crowd that's buying music? Poetic, are you there?
Yes, I am, sir.
No, you weren't. I could look at the board. I wanted to catch you off track.
That's all good. That's all good. I want to bring in some other guests who are also with us tonight. We have Nevada. Nevada, man, this girl be networking and connecting in the streets like crazy. Nevada, welcome to Hip Hop National.
Thank you.
Where you're calling in from.
Thank you. This is Nevada, your girl. She's calling in from Washington, D.C.
All right. Nevada, what is your opening statement for tonight's topic? Is there a lack of originality in music today?
There is 99.9% lack of originality in hip-hop. It's sad.
And why do you say that?
Because everybody wants to be the same. Everyone's talking about the same thing. Everybody's dressing the same videos with the girls and the cars and the money. And it's just everything's the same. People need to come up with more creative ideas, how music used to be.
Very much, very much. I like your opening statement, Nevada. Stay with us. We're going to engage you in just a moment. Azure Max has also joined us. Azure, what's happening, man? Welcome back to the show.
What's up? Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Where you calling in from, Azure?
I'm calling in from Albany, New York, upstate.
Albany, New York. Albany, New York is in the house with us. Azure, what's your opening statement for tonight's topic? Is there a lack of originality in today's music?
I definitely think there's a big lack of originality. A lot of songs are too much the same. There's too much simplicity, you know. Just like Homegirl said, it's all about cars, clothes, people dress the same, the women. No one really is coming with that originality of a concept for a song or a concept for a video, you know. No one's really making their own way with fashion. No one's really making their own way with their own type of music. You know, everybody is doing what they see, and, you know, that's just following along with that own vision of what they see on TV. A lot of even local artists, I witnessed it out here. You know, they all want to be that Chief Keef, or they all want to be, you know, that Drake. You know, a lot of people, you can't be someone who's already in that position. You have to make a way for yourself, you know. And no one else is going to be like, oh, you sound like Drake, so come with me. You know, they want to be like, oh, you sound like yourself, so you need to come with me. You know, a lot of people really need that originality so that people can really understand that there's more than just, I wouldn't say lack of talent, but a lack of concept or a view on music, because it's more to it than just the cars, clothes, and women and money and, you know, wild drugs and everything. It's more of your life, how you feel, what you feel, talk how you want, say what you feel, just get it off your chest, you know. A lot of people don't do that no more. It's more of being fly and flashy. No one keeps it real no more. That's how I feel.
All right. Thank you for your opening statement. Darryl Shermack, stay with us.
All right.
I'm going to go to Legs. Hey, Legs. I'm going to ask.
Yep.
I'm going to go around, guys. When I ask these questions, I go around and get it from everybody, because everybody comes from a different perspective. And just to let everybody know, this program is business-oriented to help the young mind, to keep them guided, focused, and grounded in their craft, instead of them having to go out, rob somebody, steal from somebody. We're trying to give them the nuts and bolts of what they need to get in this business and stay, remain in it. And hopefully they can give back to the people that helped them get there. So this is part of the process. Thank you guys for being a part of the process, because it really helps. Your voice is very important to us. Just to let you, here's the question. I'm going to lay it down to you, Legs, and then I'm going to go around the panel. Is there a lack of talent, or is it a lack of leaders? What would you say it is?
Wait.
Oh, actually, I got Raw Dog's opinion. I'm sorry. I thought I didn't for a moment. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go.
That's okay. First, I want to say that's my man, Road Dogg. Despite what you think, we're not going to take you and throw you under the bus. Your explanation was actually very good earlier, you know, as opposed to the one I gave, and then the young lady and the gentleman that came in as well. Everyone's responses were awesome. But in terms of the lack of talent or the lack of leaders, I think it's equally both, because, for one, to be a leader, you have to have your own talent. You know, it's just like a teacher has their own ability to be able to teach their own way and lead a pack of students, or, you know, whatever you're leading. So I think with the lack of talent comes married with the lack of leadership, because just like a few people here said, you know, if there's a bunch of different people coming up rapping and singing, if they're all fashioning themselves after the same mold, you know, dressing the same, looking the same, talking about the same things, then that's the lack of leadership. And it also degrades the music as well. So that's what creates the lack of talent, because now we look at a million artists that sound and look the same. We become all carbon copies of something that we want to be, that we see on TV, we see immortalized in music videos, we hear on the radio and stuff like that. If you look at the music today, you have really a few leading people that have been able to make their way and maintain their artistry, and that continue to create these trends that people follow, because of we all know, we see it on Twitter, Facebook, and all these different social media outposts. You know, someone puts something, maybe it's a new word or a new catchphrase or a new song or whatever it is, and you see how quick people latch onto it. Those are leaders. You know, I don't know how good of a leader they may be. That's up to, you know, that's a different conversation, but they would be a leader in that respect. It's just the same thing as someone bringing out a new fashion. You know, different shoes come out for women all the time. You know, they say fashion changes every, like, 5 years, you know, the way people dress and slang words, this and the other. So they were leaders, you know, and it happens to be within the music realm as well. But, you see, we have a lot of people trying to make it, and our culture is very, very saturated today, extremely saturated. And that goes back to what Road Dogg said. You know, back then there was bands and stuff like that. But it was a fresher, you know, hip-hop was fresher. You know, soul music, R&B and stuff like that in their time was fresher. So you had all these fresh talents coming up, you know, wasn't a saturated thing. So now we have this huge billions and billion dollar entity that just has a bunch of people trying to rush in and become the newest this person, that person. And there is definitely a lack of leadership and a lack of talent, and it comes married together. And unless you exercise both, then, you know, I don't think you can have one without the other. You know what I'm saying?
I totally get what you're saying. Nevada, what's your thoughts? Can you piggyback on what Legs has stated? Or do you have a different comment?
With all of me?
No, this is to Nevada.
Oh, all right.
Okay. What you ask me?
I said, can you piggyback off of what Legs stated, or do you have a different comment to make?
I have a different comment to make. Wait, what's the question again? Okay. You know me. Hold on. You know me.
Okay. Is there a lack of talent or a lack of leaders?
It's both. But some people can rap, but they just want to sound like everybody else because it's like a phase going on. It's like a fad, whatever. The music trend is, that's how everybody want to be. But some people, no, they do not need to be rapping. And leaders like Kendrick Lamar, he can rap real good. He sets trends and examples. Like, he, you know what I'm saying? But I don't know. No one has originality anymore. And it needs to be more leaders than followers, because music used to be so good. It used to make you feel so good. Now you just hear it and you get a headache. Like,
and I don't get me wrong. I agree with your sentiments. That definitely. You turn to basically any radio station today. I swear. It's almost like the artist didn't change from one to the other, because what I'm saying is, technology is okay, but when you take technology and overwhelm it over your vocals to disguise who you naturally are as a talent, then what have you done to the gift? I think you've crushed it, and I think that's what's happening in today's music. Many years ago, I mean, they used some vocal manipulation, but now you got your auto-tunes, your Melodyne, and they're using it throughout the whole process of the song, and mm-hmm. everybody's beginning to sound alike.
But I got a question for you. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever hear Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Yes, I have.
A live performance?
No, I've never been at a live performance with them.
Let me tell you something. I love Earth, Wind, and Fire, but I'm a musician. I'm a producer.
Mm-hmm.
I went to see their show. I have never, in the history of being a musician, did I ever see someone not miss a note. They were digital so long ago. The technology made them a superior group.
And Rada, on those same premises, I'm not downing technology.
But
I'm not,
see, guess
I'm,
what?
I'm,
you know what?
When I tell you like this, I think technology is awesome. But
yeah,
when
but see,
you
know,
when,
you know
when
the
you
problem
overdo
is with
anything, and I'm sure everybody on this phone will agree with me. When you overdo anything.
Yeah,
then
but see, that's
it's
the
so
catch.
Watered down, it doesn't matter anymore.
That's the catch. See, everybody's judging the hip-hop of artists that are coming out saying they want to be a hip-hop entertainer. Okay, well, see, that's the trip behind this. I keep saying, you know, these are people wanting to be. These aren't people that have established themselves by the public saying, okay, we want you to put out a record or a product because we want that song. We like the way you do that. It's backwards. They're putting out a product, and when they say it sounds like Drake, sounds like this, well, let's go back in history of music. cover bands and people that were vocalists and what have you tried to imitate the person that had put out the song, the record. Yeah, it was. I performed behind people, and they tried to do the cover song the same way as that artist. Well, when you say they sound like Drake and they sound like this, that's the cover that they're starting. That tells you what level they are. You know, now if you're not willing to judge an amateur show or to evaluate someone that's getting new in the business, then guess what? Okay. I can understand how you feel about hip-hop not progressing. But if you're going to start talking about the pros, Jay-Z, Timberland, and, you know, Justin Timberlake, hip-hop is evolving. It started one way. It started as rap with the beatbox and all of that, and it's evolving. And unless you're going to understand that it's evolving, then you're going to start to understand who the leaders in this are. And where these young people have to come up to, you know, I hear what you're saying. It's frustrating when I hear submissions that have the vulgar lyrics and what have you, and they can't be played on Hip Hop National Radio. And I ask myself why, or they talk about females in a way that. You just don't want your children to hear, and you hope grandma's not overhearing it, and you sure don't want your wife to walk in on you while the music is playing about what the guy wants from the girl. You know, so it turns into the type of thing that we're looking at all stuff. Now, if you're going to open your eyes and look at all stuff, you're going to be discouraged. But if you look at the top and you figure out, the music, and it has evolved. It's now a twist between R&B and some of the hip-hop instruments like a synthesizer or the 808 or what have you. But it's getting back to when you have people like Uncle Charlie was definitely R&B that's now with the rap artists. So it's evolving, but you got to give those that are trying to get in there and beginning a chance to be heard. You know, it's cheaper to make a product if you got a computer than paying $25 to go and be on stage and doing it in front of people. I mean, you might get a dollar back for your product.
Just make sure I'm clear. By all means, I'm not talking about technology not being a part of the process. Don't get me wrong. If you, it's okay to drink wine. Even the Bible tells you it's okay, but not to indulge in it where you're going to get drunk. I think everybody in this industry is getting drunk with what they see other people do. So they're so influenced, they fail to create and take on leadership. Now, let me ask Azur, because I didn't get to him. Azur, what's your take? Is there a lack of talent or lack of leaders? Or piggyback on what you heard Raw Dog said.
I agree with Homeboy, and I mean, I do feel like it's both because, you know, I can't say there's lack of talent. There are a lot of artists who have talent, but when you look at talent in the industry, you have to think of who's really writing their own songs, because there are ghostwriters that's undercover who are getting more money than the artist is, because they're the ones who's actually writing the song. They may not get paid for the performances, they may not get paid for the interviews and the promotions and everything, but they get paid for, you know, the lyrics and, you know, putting that whole concept in that song and giving it to that person. You know, as leadership, you know, I think we need more positive leaders in the industry, because now how it is, like we're all saying, is, you know, the vulgar language, you know, the disrespect of women, you know, and just the whole party scene, which, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with partying and having fun, but, you know, it gets to a point where you're partying so much and all these songs about partying that people forget about, okay, what about the streets? You know, what about the hood? What about the people in broken homes? What about the poor? What about the kids that don't have families? You know, they don't bring up that stuff.
I'm with you on that. See, those are concepts that to me is no longer being covered. In a sense, the music artist is almost like a street reporter, but in tuned with the musical side of things. They mm-hmm. things that they see and how things are presented. They write and create a story and develop a story based on it, and then people follow.
Yeah.
The report.
Also, there's people who can, you know, relate to it. You know, there's people who can relate to, you know, real life, and there's also those who can relate to the party life and, you know, the flashy life, living lavish. But there's only so few that can relate to that. You know, like me, I can't relate to partying every day. I got a job, you know. I work, so I can't say, you know, in a song, hey, I'm partying all the time and I'm going out and I'm having fun, throwing money, you know. Nah, I have priorities. Things I have to take care of. So, you know, I come with a different type of message other than, you know, partying. I make my party songs here and there when it calls for it, when I feel like, all right, I'm going to give the people something that, you know, should uplift them, you know. But what I would want to hear in the industry is just more positive messages, you know, because there's a lot of kids out here who think that this life is just about money and partying and being flashy and, you know, women or guys or whatever, you know. Like my town, there's a whole bunch of kids out here. They think that this life is just what they see. You know, they want to walk around with foams on their feet. They want to walk around with those polo shirts of that rugby, or, you know, those nice, I mean, leather strap hats and all that stuff. That's what they think life is. You know, they think that the money is just going to come to them. It doesn't come to them. It doesn't come to you unless you work. You know, they don't have that out here, and that's why I bring, you know, a positive message into music. But I think that we should have, you know, more leaders and stuff like that, more positive leaders, you know. And with just that alone, it can bring something up. If people really listen to it, because now, you know, if you put on a song and it's positive, a person may like it, but is that person really going to listen to it just because of the positive message that it brings? They may like the lyrics, but they can't really break down that whole story or that whole song. You know, the lyrics sound nice and the beat is nice, but they can't break it down, you know. And even with talent-wise, you know, I listen to, you know, some industry music here and there. I don't get too much into it because, you know, I feel as if, you know, I mean, I listen too much to it, I may produce that, you know. So I listen to, like, songs here and there, but it's things that they say that may not even make sense. You know, it's certain things that I'd be like, what? That punchline doesn't make no sense. How would you say this and how would you say that? You know, but a lot of those songs I can't really put together and break down because the majority of it is, you know, flashy stuff. For instance, 2 Chainz, he made a song about...
Azura.
Yeah.
Let, when we come back, definitely... That right there, if you would remember that, I like to bring that back to the forefront.
Okay.
But I got to go to a break for a moment, and then we'll come back.
All right.
You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight we're talking about, is there a lack of originality? Love this all-star panel that we got on. We got Nevada, girl banging in the streets. We got Azur Max, and he's putting it down, and he's out here as a advocate for the young and for the people. And you can tell he's about changing this game. And we got Legs, the entertainer, who's definitely putting it. And not to mention, he's a teacher and mentor for dancing. So definitely, we got these guys on deck. Y'all want to tune in and lock into what we're doing. Want to say this, guys, and maybe you guys can discuss this when we come back. I got a chance this week. I don't know if you guys had a chance to see Crazy, Sexy, Cool, TLC. It was educational as well as entertaining. Also, you got a chance to look at the originality of what they were able to produce. And honestly, I can say this, TLC was definitely leaders. I didn't see that they were copycats. I saw nothing out there at that time, during that time, similar to them. When we come back, let's discuss the leadership that they conveyed. Definitely, you listen to Hip Hop National Radio. Is there a lack of originality? We'll be back in just a moment. Y'all stay with us.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion. Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
Forever Memory Blankets, the place where you can turn your photo into a masterpiece. If you want to live like the stars, then here's your key. These are one-of-a-kind creations. Our portfolio includes Dwayne Wade, Music, Slim Thug, Teresa Budon, Bun B, and so much more. All you have to do is log on to www.fmblankets.com. That's www.fmblankets.com. Or you can call 214-403-1524. That number again is 214-403-1524. And tell them Hip Hop National Radio told you to give them a call. Already Gear is the place where your image matters. We handle all promotional needs that you could have in mind. We are so much more than t-shirts. We do business cards, padfolios, pins, and more. In fact, whatever you can put your name on, we do. Give us a call at 214-333-0180. That's 214-333-0180. Tell them HHNR told you to give them a call.
In the mix with Dr. Ray T. Kemi Hearn on the Spreaker channel. www.spreaker.com/listen. Hip Hop National Radio.
And we're back. And here I am having some technological problems. Just before we went to the break, I wanted to Azur finish what he was saying, and then we're going to go into that question I asked. Azur, you were saying
yes.
About two things. What were you saying?
Yeah, I was saying was about, you know, certain songs that, you know, they don't make no sense, and I try to break down the song, and when I get down to breaking it, you know, all the way through, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really break it down and explain, like, all right, this makes sense and this makes sense. Like 2 Chainz, his song, he woke up in a new Bugatti. I don't know what the song name is, but you know that's basically supposedly the concept. You know, mm-hmm. He says something about smoking Haitian, some looking for you with Haitians or something like that. You know, but the whole concept was you woke up in a new Bugatti. Okay, you're getting money. You know, your hook is basically saying that, you know, you'll come through a Haitian. Okay, you're doing all of this stuff. You're getting money. Okay, but how did you wake up in a new Bugatti? You know, that song doesn't break down from, all right, I'm right here. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And then I get into this trouble or this trouble. And, you know, I have to run and I'm sleeping in my car and I wake up and the police come and get me. You know, I didn't get that out of the song. What I got was, you know, I'm just getting my money. I'm a fly guy, you know, guns here, there, here around, whatever. And, you know, I woke up in a new Bugatti. The video in itself doesn't even have no type of sense into it because it's just, okay, he woke up in a new Bugatti. Your whole video, you're standing in front of a car. And then, you know, Ace Hood, he was in the hood, basically, but what was going on that got you to that point of waking up in the car and the police is at your car. You know, that's what I can't put together. You didn't say you were here, here, there, and then you're in a car. You know, that's what I get with the making sense-wise and the talent, you know, because if it's talent, if it's real raw talent, it has to, well, to me, it has to make sense. That's my opinion. You know, every song has to come with some type of message. You know,
I think,
if you're...
And you know something? And in my opinion, and I was gonna say it later, but I'm going to say it now because you make a point. Mm-hmm. I think there's so much vulgarity in the music today that they try to clean it up. But when a song going beep, 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 and then it said Bugatti, and beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
How can I get the message that you're trying to deliver when you everything in the song is being beeped out?
Yeah.
I think you can't
understand nothing. Even when I was a kid growing up, you know, my mom, she grew up listening to rap music. She was barely like an R&B person, you know. So while we were riding around in cars, you know, doing errands and everything, we're listening to rap music, and those songs would have those bleeps out. And as a kid, you know, I wondered, like, oh, what are they saying? Like, what words are they saying? Why is this line, this whole half a line bleeped out, you know? And you really can't get what they're saying, and why would you want to listen to something that you can barely hear the words? You know, if I make a song, I want to make a song that's able for radio play, that's radio ready, so that there's no curse words, there's no vulgar language and nothing like that. You know, so that everybody can hear the music, mothers, children, you know, your grandfather, you know.
And when you
your
finish
cousin.
That song, make sure you send it to Hip Hop National by uploading it at
www.hiphopnational.
I just wanted, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just thought I should drop that to you.
That was a slick move, Poetic.
I like
that. Yeah. I'm the
definitely.
Music director, so. I was going to say it, but he did it real good.
Yeah, man, but I just want to see more positive leaders, you know, in the game, and I just want to see more originality. I want to be able to sit down with my kids and be like, listen, this song right here is talking about this. You know, this line means this, means that. I may not know, hey, my kid may love music like I do, so, you know, I'll give her the steps of everything, you know. So I want to be able to hear music myself and be like, all right, I like this song. I haven't listened to a song from the industry that's really caught my ear in a while. I listen to either myself or underground or other local artists out here, you know. So what I want to hear is just, you know, something that makes sense, something that's going to motivate me, something that's going to make me want to do more positive, you know, that's going to make me, you know, be a bigger man than what I already am, you know, stuff that's going to really make me think, you know, stuff that's really going to make me want to educate others, you know what I mean, and tell people, hey, listen to this song, this is what he said, like, that's what we used to do when we were kids, you know, we used to play Nas and
yeah,
Jada
yeah,
Kiss.
Yeah, we used to sit down and dissect the song.
Yes.
And what it
yes.
meant, what it meant.
But you know what I hear out of both of you is maturity.
But
yeah.
Even at that age, though, we were young, though, bro.
But no,
I'm only 22.
But
no,
but
he's 22.
What I mean by maturity.
Man, here, wait a minute.
Let me say what I'm going to say, please.
Right.
What I mean by that is that you've listened to so much music, and you've dissected it. Now that makes you guys special, because you see the average individual that's just out there clubbing it and what have you, not creating it, they don't dissect music the same way, you know. So what has happened is that one side of your brain has been filled up with, oh, I've heard enough garbage, I've heard enough music that has no purpose or value, and so you've heard enough of that. So now you want to fill your brain with things that are motivational, inspirational, romantic, something that really has all of that value. So, you know, that's when I say you guys have matured. You have to give that to these young artists before they understand that they're going to mature. They're going to realize, oh, man, did I do that? I don't like that now. You know, we always talk about shelf life of music, and that's the catch to these young people. Shelf life is going to, they're going to go back and they're going to go, I did that. Ah, what was I thinking?
Yes.
You know, they're going to come to that point because once that side of your brain gets loaded up of hearing things that didn't mean anything or they were put together and you realize that what that they were really saying, you know, or that it had no purpose and no meaning, that it was just foolish gibberish, you know, you don't want to hear that anymore. And I know you're like that, Poetic, because I've asked you about songs, and you tell me, man, I heard one word and I cut it off. See, so your brain has been filled with that kind of stuff over the years. You don't want to hear it anymore.
Not to mention, I won't lie to you, I'm already a professional at at profanity myself, and I'm not trying to be funny. But I feel, don't get me wrong, I feel that that's a side of me that I really don't want to share with everybody in the world, and because I don't feel that it inject any positivity in someone else's life. So that's
do you apply
why.
That to music when you hear that
no,
in music?
No, that's the purpose
what
of
does
me
it
not
do
applying. That's the purpose of me not applying it to music because I think personally, you know,
you personally, your
opinion.
Brain is.
This,
has been filled
no,
with
no,
enough of
that
and you want something better.
Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. What I see is if I perpetuate the language and the negativity of the language, and I'm talking about slapping this bee and beating, you know, my so-and-so and all of this, don't get me wrong, as I perpetuate it, it's just going to continue throughout life.
No,
and
but we're not saying
people,
about you perpetuating. We're saying if you were in your vehicle with the windows up and the air conditioning on and you
yeah,
had your
probably,
radio on,
that's probably, you,
when
you,
you hear you, that first negative word,
oh,
you don't want to hear anymore.
That's me personally. That's me.
Because your brain is full on one side of hearing that, and you don't want to have that to listen to. That's what I mean about maturity. You know, there would have been a time when you were young, you might have just said, wow, did he say what I thought he said? Now you don't want to hear it. You've matured. You've gotten to the point where that stuff has no value, and it doesn't have a purpose. It serves no purpose in your life.
I want to be able to, real quick, fellas, I want to just kind of attack on a few of the things that that we've been talking about right now. Actually, some great dialogue going back and forth. And real quick, shout out to Azor. You know, you're a young cat coming up, and you actually realize these things. Cause there's not too many 21, 22-year-old guys that feel the way you do. And that's great. That's positive. That's actually being a leader,
thank you.
Too.
Thank you. Thank you.
But we have to remember this. Here's what we have to remember. And I'm with Poetic on that, too, as far as, you know, I'm a DJ. I accumulate so much music a week, a month. I listen to more music than the average person does because of what I do. So even me, myself, I've grown very tired over the past X amount of years of beat this person up, shoot this person, kill this person, go hit this chick, this blah, 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 blah. To where when I listen to stuff on my XM radio in my car, as soon as I start hearing a bunch of cursing and stuff, I get turned off. I turn off because I'm like, man, I'm like tired of hearing this kind of stuff. There's really no creativity in the music because everyone's talking about the same thing. And it really does bother you after a while. It really does bother you. You can't share the music with your kids or younger people because, like you said, every other word is bleeped out of the radio. You can't sing the lyrics because the whole record is based on evil things. Can you celebrate that music with your children or younger people or other people? Even me, when I go play parties and stuff, there's certain records that are still clean that I still can't play because it's even though the record is clean, they bleeped out the swears or reversed the words. It's still saying other things that are bad. So I'm like, okay, well, this is really not a clean record. You know what I mean? So I really can't. Even if you listen to like a new Beyonce or a Rihanna record that comes out nowadays, you know, those are R&B singers. You know, they do the dance music stuff, of course. Even their music, you can't even play their records because it's like, man, you know, where has R&B music gone? You know, there was a time where R&B music, and I love like the the realm of the 90s was like one of the greatest eras for R&B, you know, hip-hop R&B music, but that era is gone now. Now, as a DJ, there's a lot of artists that are coming up with great lyrics, great records. You know, I like some of the songs that come out. I'm not totally down on the music, of course not, but when you have that saturation of like, just craziness in your music, you know, with the cursing and you know, people downing each other and stuff like that, it bothers you after a while. It really does. And we have to remember this also, fellas. Hip music, first of all, we have to take the word hip-hop out of this conversation because this is not hip-hop, this is rap music. Hip-hop is a culture that involves all the different elements, but rap music right now is not involving the other elements of hip-hop, so it's not hip-hop. We can either say rap music or we can say hip-hop music, but don't say hip-hop because it's not hip-hop at all, okay?
Yeah.
There was a time where people, and Raw Dog, I know you said it earlier, hip-hop music did not start with rap because in the 90s there was no rap music yet. In the 70s it was only breakbeats, R&B, disco, jazz, trance music. Hip-hop started, the first elements of hip-hop was breaking and graffiti. There was no rap records yet. So any persons that were rappers back then, you had to have a show. You had to be able to physically get up on stage with your DJ. Your fellow MCs were your band. If you remember correctly, most of the original MCs like Grandmaster Flashes and this person, they were like temptations of the hip-hop culture. They had their band, which was their fellow MCs, and their DJ in the back. The DJ was celebrated as one of the band members. Now the DJ is pushed to the back of the stage. But you had to have a show. You had to be able to play live, you know what I mean? Okay, yeah. The DJ had to know how to flip breakbeats and cut up breakbeats, and that MC had to know how to rhyme on time with the beats. That created a show. There's not a lot of artists nowadays that know how to perform live correctly. They just know how to go up on stage with a computerized sound and just rap over their beat with their voice already in the record. That's not a show. You know what I'm saying? So that's also helped degrade the quality of the music, the talent of the music. Again, you had to have a show. It wasn't until the top of the 80s, maybe 1980 or 81, when they started using the drum machines and getting electronic sound infused in hip-hop music, which gave hip-hop music that signature sound, was when we started using electronic sounds. Okay, now we have records, now we have songs pressed up on wax, so they can be played on the radio, or they can be played at the parties and stuff like that. But originally, you had to have a show. That was the talent part of it. A lot of kids are missing that talent part. So I think that a lot of people, young people, kids alike and stuff like that, they're missing that aspect and that component. There's a lot behind it more than just listening to a record on the radio. How is that record made? Okay, who wrote the song? Who made the beat? Those are the elements that go into making the record. So that's what I had to really, I wanted to really attack right there. It's not hip-hop, it's rap music.
I agree. I never knew it was like that. I knew that, you know, hip-hop wasn't just start with rapping. You know, I knew that it was something else.
Rap is the last element to come out of hip-hop. It goes graffiti, breaking, DJing, or breaking and DJing at the same time. Rap music did not come around until, like, 1976, 77. They didn't start pressing records up until 79. You know what I mean? 1980. So that's the last element to come out. Actually, I'm pretty sure the older gentlemen know here, back then, it wasn't the rap music that propelled hip-hop into the mainstream. It wasn't. People weren't paying attention to rap because it was such a brand-new thing. It was very experimental. You know, the Sugar Hill Records, Enjoy Records, all those things, small budgets for rappers. It wasn't. It was the dance aspect, and it was the DJs that propelled the hip-hop culture. You know, the rappers were in the background at first, and that's the truth. It's just that rap had a product. Rap had a product that could be sold in records, eventually CDs. Now we have MP3s. You couldn't sell graffiti. You couldn't take a DJ home with you. So rap music had a product. That's why it became a billion-dollar thing. And then after that happened, all the other elements got pushed back, and then rap became that entity.
I agree.
I never knew all of that. That's good to know. Learn something new every day. I like that.
I'm going to bring Glenn into the topic. Glenn, welcome to Hip Hop National. I see you raise your hand.
Hey,
sir.
How's everybody tonight?
Oh,
doing good.
What
good.
Are you
doing good.
From,
good. Great topic, Poetic. As usual, I love what you guys do on the station. I have to concur with the brother that just got to speaking. I just want to add this to what he expounded on. We as music people and music professionals and entrepreneurs have to realize that these artists of today are only doing what the industry has made available for them and to them. The problem, and I've been kind of running up my own little tests with some of these rappers, and I don't tell them what they can or cannot submit to me. But what I do is, when they bring a record to me now and it's full of profanity and negativity, I say, oh, okay, so this is how you feel, huh? And some of those guys will come back and say, well, it ain't so much how I feel, but, you know, I got to do what the kids want to hear. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to challenge you to do this same record, this same exact record conceptually without the profanity. I said, and the reason that I'm asking you to do that is because I want to see if you're a real artist. Mm-hmm. Because being an artist is about creativity. And anybody on the planet Earth can sit up and say a bunch of curse words. Anybody can do that. The challenge comes in is, can you flip those curse words to replace them with words that still express what you're trying to get across to the public?
Right.
And
right.
If the veterans in this industry would challenge all of these young, see, because there's a certain sector of artists that, number one, in my opinion, just don't belong. They're not artists. They're just not good enough, period. And we as music industry people need to be more honest in our assessment when dealing with these artists. And I think that that's a part of the problem, too. You know, everybody is just not artistic. And the problem is that this industry has perpetuated a system to where a guy like 2 Chainz can get out here and become famous. A guy, you know, and I don't just want to point the finger just at that one particular guy, but at a lot of these guys, man, who have broken into so-called rap music because it's not hip-hop, well, you got to understand that somebody is behind them pushing this garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So they've dumbed down the public. They've dumbed down the artist. The artist who's really gifted, he can't even get a shot. He can't even get a shot. You know, it's like with the boy Kendrick Lamar. You know, I appreciated what he said. He said, y'all seeing the end result of what I do. He said, but y'all don't know what I've been through to get here.
Right,
right.
Because artists that are really creative and really have God's gifts, well, that devil that's out here in society really ain't trying to see him do anything. He wants to keep selling our children this bullshit. Excuse my language, I'm sorry. You got to understand.
One thing I can say, Glenn, you was passionate about what you were saying, though.
I'm passionate about it because I came to this earth as a creative person. My son is now an artist, and I'm trying to guide him the right way so he can guide his crew in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the studio every day, and I'm dealing with these young folks. And instead of, at first, you know, it had frustrated me so bad that, you know, my first thing was, I just don't want to be bothered. But then I had to stop and rethink that and say, well, okay, this is the way to find the real talent. Challenge them to bring you what you want rather than what they want to give you. And don't challenge them in a way to say that if you send me a record like that, I'm just not playing it. That's not the way to do it, because you got to understand that they call themselves doing something that somebody wants to hear.
Yeah.
Because the powers that be have tricked them into thinking, hey, man, if you talk a bunch of dumb stuff, that's what they want to hear, because we've
that's
already
right.
dumbed down the consumer.
And that's one
right.
of my questions tonight, too. Glenn, you actually hit the nail on the head. Has the industry lowered their standards?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Listen, man, you never heard Stevie Wonder say he was in a beef with another artist?
Yeah.
You don't have to because all the artists were great. Right.
Yeah, they might have
disliked each other. They might have had a misunderstanding.
But
it
you
was
never heard
never
about
something
it.
That made them money to be
people respected each other.
And see, you never heard about it back then, but I don't even know the year. It was like probably say like 2010 or 2009. I think it was Trey Songz beefing with R. Kelly, and Trey Songz saying that he was better than R. Kelly, and they were actually making diss tracks, singing. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, hold on, are they really beefing? Like, over what though? You know,
but this is what this is what you need to understand about that. Those two gentlemen didn't think of that concept. That was an executive at the labels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that Kelly Rollins the song that she put out not too long ago that really didn't go anywhere, where she was dissing back on Beyonce and them.
Oh, yeah, because of her financial issues and everything.
Right. But it didn't work.
Yeah, most of those beefs are industry made. We don't live in the era anymore where there's really genuine rap records that are coming out because someone really has a problem with somebody because they disrespected them at their show or an event or something like that. You know, a lot of those beefs are, it's almost like the fixed boxing fight. Okay, hey, look, you go at him, he's gonna come at you. You're gonna make so much money. He's gonna come back. He's gonna make this much money. You guys are gonna beef at the next club. I mean, they'll even probably go to the extent of telling their entourage, look, okay, these guys are going to come at this club this night. We need y'all to make enough noise so we can put this in headlines and everybody could be able to eat, and we're going to have the stupid fans feel like, hey, there's some beef and such got in beef with such a, or he doesn't like him and that, and these guys are sitting back at home making millions of dollars laughing at everyone thinking that they really have actually beef, but they don't. It's just the industry. It's an industry fabricated, event.
Exactly.
You know,
just
there's still some rap beef.
Chris Brown.
There's still some rap beefs that happen accidentally, of course. But we live in a day and age where there's a lot more fabrication than there used to be. So you gotta expect, like I said, if you have that R. Kelly and Trey Songz going at each other and they're singing, singing songs about each other, a lot of that is made up. But what are you gonna do?
But fellas, everybody on this call right now on this show knows that R. Kelly is the premier songwriter producer in this industry on the black side right now. Trey Songz can't even be in the same room with this dude.
Right.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Since Trey Songz is popular, well, some executive comes up with an idea that, hey, let's go with R. Kelly.
That's right.
Yeah, you're
but
right.
We know,
that's right.
We know that, I mean, I've seen both of them live. Trey Songz cannot stay in the room with this man.
Mm-hmm. But I understand that, too, because you got to look at it. R. Kelly has been in the game for years, since I was a little kid. My mom and my cousins and stuff, singing his songs and stuff, And growing up, still watching him still do his thing. He's, I don't even know how old he is, probably like 40-something, Maybe even older than that, But you can't. Had, like, Trey Songz, okay, should never came at R. Kelly in the first place, no matter who told you what, You should never did it because you're going against a vet. You're like a rookie, basically, compared to this guy. He's done more. He's made more moves than you have. He's done more shows, Money-wise, that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is, are you really making the songs? Are you really doing that, putting that message out there and everything? But R. Kelly has done more than Trey Songz, so Trey Songz really has no right to do it. But on the other hand, with the rap beefs, I like to see what Kendrick Lamar is doing with the whole, he came at a whole number of rappers and just told them, listen, I don't want to hear another noun, verb, or verb from you ever. Like, and it was good to me because I think that's what the industry needs. That's what hip-hop needs because as rappers, there was a lot of beefs going on. They had Eminem and Benzino, 50 Cent, Ja Rule,
you know, the list can go on. You know, even, you know, Lil' Kim had her beef with Nicki Minaj, and, you know, even though that wasn't that major and that big and it didn't get like how Nas and Jay-Z's was, it was still something, you know. But Kendrick Lamar did it in the aspect where he, I feel where he's coming from. He wants to take over and show people, listen, I've struggled crazy long just to get here. Now that I'm here, I'm going to show y'all what I'm going to do. Because if I was in his shoes, I'd probably do the same thing. Because hip-hop is competitive. Well, rapping is competitive, you know. And a lot of people would want to be better than the people that's above them, you know. So he probably feels like, all right, you got Joe Budden and Common or, you know, Drake and Joel Ortiz, and you got Papoose and all these other people who just, you know, have been there before him and that can spit really good. He feels like, all right, I'm here now. Now I'm going to come at y'all, and I'm going to show y'all what I can do. Whoever want it, they can get it bar for bar. He'll probably even stand in front of somebody and face-to-face battle them like they on the streets or something, you know. He'll probably do it. But I respect it because, you know, that's bringing back the original hip-hop and the original rap, like the scene of it. Just, you know, even though it's on wax, you could probably still envision in your head, all right, Kendrick Lamar is right in front of, you know, Joe Budden, and they going back to back right at it. Like, who would really win, you know? But once you hit that response, and it's like, all right, yeah, this is really something. And that's what I like to see because he's even came at Drake. Drake's never said nothing. I've heard a lot of artists come at Drake, never said nothing. Artists come at Meek Mill, Azura, never said nothing, you know?
Azura, I'm going to have to interrupt you, my man. And I, unfortunately, I'm going to do it on a quick briefing, just that I have to allot time for the spots to let people know that this is the spot you can advertise in. So we'll be back in just a moment after these messages. Y'all stay with us. You see how I get right here. And I tell you, Azura, 22 years old, you said you are full of wisdom.
Yeah, I'll be 23 next
wisdom.
Month.
Full of wisdom. You keep it up, man. You keep it up. Y'all stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Is there a lack of originality? Apparently, there is. And what a debate. What a debate right here on this show. Not really a debate, but what wisdom that's being dropped, the gold nuggets that's being dropped on this show. Y'all stay with us. It'll be more on the other side.
Finally, there's a free online dating site for singles on the internet. At thehiphopdatingspot.com, you'll connect with singles in your own backyard and all around the world. And remember, thehiphopdatingspot.com is free to join. Get the lowdown on events and places to go, join groups and forums, or just chat with that special somebody. Check it out now. There's somebody waiting just for you at thehiphopdatingspot.com. Still here? Go to thehiphopdatingspot.com now.
You've got 5 minutes? I've got that celebrity interview. Hi, I'm Valder Beebe, host of The Valder Beebe Show. Join me daily for my new brand, That Celebrity Interview. I get the opportunity to chat with the world's most fascinating people. I interview actors and directors and entertainers, celebrities, and everyday people on important topics and issues and life-changing causes. My interviews are authentic, revealing, and personal with my guests, who are in a 21st century mode. They're either in studio, by phone, satellite, or in exotic locations. I've interviewed people in Istanbul, Israel, London, all across the globe. Tune in daily to That Celebrity Interview. Go to ValderBBShow.com for broadcast locations of That Celebrity Interview. I'll see you there.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
If you guys would like to be a part of Hip Hop National, all we ask that you do is upload your music at www.hiphopnationalradio.com. We have a plethora of things that we can help communicate with you with as far as promotions and your promotional needs, as well as right now, it's not just now, we do give you free airplay on our program because we want to help you reach the masses through our program as we reach the masses ourselves. We want to help commune with you and become a part of your world as you become a part of ours. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. I'm going to go back to Glenn. Is there a lack of originality in today's music? That's what we've been talking about. Glenn, wouldn't you agree that this 22-year-old man is a well-seasoned vet, sort of, kind of, and at least with how he express himself?
Well, what, man, you know, it's like you read my mind. Yes, their young brother is right where he needs to be. Mentally, I don't know where he is as an artist because I haven't heard anything from him.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. But to hear a man of 22 years of age speak the way that he does with the passion that he has for this industry puts a smile on my face personally because I've been in this game, as you know, a number of years, and I've seen the changes and the negativity that has been implemented into our industry. And for him to be undaunted and still be pure to what he believes is a great achievement in itself. And in terms of the topic, no, there's not a lack of creativity. There's no creativity at all. and I want to give this to everybody on the show tonight. You need to first understand that a song, whether it be hip-hop, rock and roll, R&B, gospel, whatever it is, a song is a gift from God. And God gives that gift to certain people that he wants to have it. And when you go against what God has given to you to pass on to the world, and you pass it on in a way where the message that he wants you to convey is not what you're doing, you need to understand that you are being a part of something unnatural and unpure. Music is about your soul, what's coming out of your soul. It's just like every person on this planet that's unique just because there's no other person like you. Well, a song is the same way. And you have to treat it as such. And you have to understand how important music is to the world. See, these kids today, a lot of them think it's a hobby, man. They think hip-hop is a hobby.
And a lot of them think that it's easy, too.
Yeah, they think it's – I agree.
It's not easy at all.
It's not a hobby. This is about
right.
Passion and truth.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you live inside the truth, the first thing to being creative is being true to thy own self so you can be true to the music. Yes.
That's right. But
they take these images, man, and they put them in front of our children, and they say, hey, go to the doctor, get some implants put in your butt, and I'm going to make you huge.
Right. Yeah.
And these people want this stardom so much, man. See, because the people on this radio show tonight, we don't know if that girl got a dime in her account. We really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And TLC just showed us the other night what this industry is really like.
Mm-hmm.
So,
very true.
They'll give you the spotlight, but they take the wealth.
Exactly.
And then they take your catalog and they send their grandchildren and great grandchildren to college off of your song. And we have to speak out against this, man. Because these kids really don't know. They don't know.
Well, you know what? It's been like that since day one.
Yeah, they think every time they see somebody in a Bugatti that they really own it.
Yep.
It's been like that since day one, and the big difference is when rap music, you know, there was a lot of young ignorant brothers because we didn't know what the legal part was. There was no legal premise for hip hop music back in the early '80s because it was brand new.
They had to go ahead and rewrite a whole different sector for rap music. And then once brothers started figuring out, okay, I'm entitled to this, this is not supposed to happen, my rights is this, that, and the other, then the record labels went and rewrote other things to get around the knowledge that brothers were starting to gain in the game, because they were saying, okay, well, we still want to take these guys' money because this rap thing is getting huge, and, you know, we want to make all the money and keep these artists down, and now we have to rewrite some contracts because these guys are starting to get smart, and let's go around what they know, the little bit they know. And, you know, the record music business is just a very, very shady, evil entity, you know. And, you know, a lot of people think when they're going to get into the game, they're going to get over. And you're not. Like you said, you don't know how much money a person has in their pocket. You know, they drive these nice cars, but is that really their car? Is that really their house? Is that really, you know, their tour bus? You know, it's an image.
Don't get me wrong. If you got, and that's why I brought up the TLC thing, because they showed us actually – they actually showed us what this industry was made of, you know.
Right, right.
You know, and I mean, just because you see everybody in the front, you know, on front stage, that don't mean they're actually getting paid.
That's right. That was a very, very good show. I actually sat down and watched that myself, and I don't watch a lot of shows nowadays. I mean, I kind of pick and choose which documentaries and stuff to watch, but that actually right there, I think, shed a lot of light for, you know, young Black America on how this industry really is and how people are really done behind the scenes. And there's been, like, countless artists, as we all know, that have gone through that and still do. But it's an image thing. Like you said, you know, they slap people in front of these recording studios, okay, dress a certain way, talk a certain way, okay, now you're an artist, not knowing that there's a lot of people that pretty much damn near died to pave the way for real creative music to come out. This is a lifestyle, not just a trend or, okay, let me talk like this because everyone else is talking this way and let me get on. You know, you have to make rap music or hip-hop in general your lifestyle. And that's really how you emulate who you really are and your craft. It's about being true to your music or whatever art form you're involved in, and not just doing what the next man is doing just because he got on or you heard that he's opening up for such and such. Okay, maybe I can do this now because I want to make that $1 million now. People are falling in love with the music faster than they fall in love with the culture. And then when you fall in love with the music before the culture, you can just forget it. You might as well just hang it up to dry because you really don't love the culture. You don't, you know, I hear a lot of artists, oh, yeah, I love this music, and if it wasn't for this music, I wouldn't be doing this and that, but they're doing it for the money.
I fall in love with the music. I think they fall in love with the facade.
Well, all of that. All of the false things. All of the false things. Anything that's, you know, because you can't love the you can't possibly love hip hop, and you know, and do the things you do, talk about the things you talk about. You know, I mean, I look at both sides. You know, there's a time and place for certain lyrics, certain storytellings. You know, street stuff, but then there's also a time. Say, okay, let me make some positive records because kids are listening to this stuff. Let me do some positive shows and stuff like that. That's really where the love comes from, not from the same perpetual thing happening over and over. You know, and just emulating money and all these big things and stuff like that. I mean, we all love money. We all need money to survive. But it's just the way that it's come across to the young people nowadays is creates this very, very false lifestyle and image. And that's where the love is being sucked out of it.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. In every story, there's a positive side to the story.
Right.
In every major city in America, there's a crew of young boys that are either on the street selling drugs or have been. Well, there's even a positive side to that, because the positive side is to tell this next generation, hey, man, this may not be what you want to be doing.
Right, right.
So
exactly.
In hip-hop, the beautiful thing about hip-hop is hip-hop allows you to tell the truth. Hip-hop is
the voice
based
of
on
young
telling
people
the truth.
Yep.
And that's what these kids don't understand, man. They think that it's something other than being honest.
Right. And I don't agree with those negative messages, and I never will be. Like I said, there's a time and place to talk about those things, but not in the way they're doing it today. Not and when you blatantly tell people it's all right to take drugs, it's all right to hit women, nah. I don't care who you are, what you're claiming to get your message across. You don't go ahead and tell people it's all right to do this and that, it's all right to drug people up, because you got millions of people listening to your records. You got millions of 10-year-old kids, 12-year-old kids, 15-year-old kids, 21-year-old young men listening to this stuff. So
yeah,
there's really
like
there's no positivity.
Molly situation.
Right. There's no positivity in it whatsoever. I don't care if they say, well, okay, I grew up hard and this is the way I have to get my message across. Nah. Because my father told me when I was a little kid, you know, in terms of like jazz music, you know, blues, you know, guys that really came out, you know, doing the jazz stuff in the 40s and 50s, some of those people that grew up in the streets of Chicago, New York, were some of the most downtrodden, you know, young black people back in the day. They had nothing to look forward to whatsoever, but they still made it positive, you know. They still made it positive, still able to get on those drums at the age of 2 years old or play that saxophone and come up positive. There was a lot of drugs back then. There was a lot of prostitution, rape. There was a lot of killing, too. But they didn't err on the side of, you know, glorifying their music. That's what it comes down to, glorifying the most evil things in music. That's why we have a lot of confused young people today. That's why we have a lot of young kids growing up before their time, because now you have kids that are 12, 13 years old that are almost like 25-year-old women and men because they listen to this junk. You know, you take in, what you take in and what you hear has a lot to do with your behavior, your environment, and what you believe.
But, you know, I got to say this. I'm of the old school, and, you know, when I just heard what you said about the people that they hear and imitating them, you know, in the Bible it says, you know, idolizing false prophets. And this is how these young kids are looking up to these artists and the antics and the conversations and what have you. And they think that they are the leaders that they should follow, you know. It's sad, but, you know, I can remember the song when the females were singing, they wanted a thug. And so, you know, that was the trend for the females to go out and find someone that was doing the streets and slinging drugs and trying to live a fast life rather than trying to live
until
they see what it's really about, then they don't want nothing to deal with it. That's just a song,
that
you know.
Yeah, but sometimes it's too late.
Yeah, you're right.
That shows you how powerful words are. Women said they wanted a thug, and don't get me wrong, just about every guy started to emulate that character.
Exactly. And guess what? And the females were out there looking for him.
You know,
I mean, that's like the artist the other night that was on the radio said that he was a DJ because of the women. Well, okay, same as the guys, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
This is Glenn again. And you guys should understand that I'm like the last gentleman, except I'm from every school up until this present one that I'm still living in.
And in
every genre of music, there has been some kind of controversy over in the history of music, of our industry. Rock and roll, they didn't want it on television. The white kids were starting to dance with black kids. There's been controversy in every genre of music in America. The problem that we're witnessing today is that our children are not being educated to understand that it's nothing wrong with trying to make it in the music industry. There's nothing wrong with being able to express your true feelings.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is somebody let somebody else take the music from us and mold it in a way that they wanted it to be. So you have a bunch of people, musicians and artists, who don't have enough backbone to say, this is my music, this is my creation, and I'm not going to let you take it and do whatever you will with it. See, that's where the real problem lies. Because, let's face it, guys, we don't own anything in America.
That's
yeah,
right.
We don't. That's right.
We don't have a machine that can come into a person's home 24 hours a day and put images that we want out there.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else is in control of that machine. And we have given that somebody else all of our creativity. They don't create anything. They get everything that they get through acquisition. They buy what we create, and they take it from us.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, there's a long history in that.
Yes, it's our job to do what we're doing on this radio show tonight we have to find a way to get these young folks to listen, to log in to Hip Hop National. Because if we already know what the problem is, but we have to be able to spread this message out here in a way that these young kids can receive it. See, because one thing that I've found is one thing that these young kids don't want to be looked at is as a sucker. Or a bust.
Yep.
Right.
That's right.
They don't know that they the biggest suckers and busters that I've ever seen in 50 plus years of living. I mean that so truthfully, man. These kids are walking around sleep.
That's right.
Yep.
And you know what? And these guys are walking around. They're walking around asleep while the guys that are putting on the music, the big bucks like the P. Diddy's and the 50 Cent's and all these executives behind the labels. Somebody said something very interesting to me one time. They said, okay, if you go to any poor neighborhoods, usually, especially like in big parts of New York and really any kind of towns, what are some of the biggest billboards that you see in the disenfranchised neighborhoods? Is usually like advertisements that advertise, for example, let's say a liquor or a kind of cigarettes or kind of – they put these kind of billboards in these neighborhoods. And they, let's say, for example, I'm going to use this just as an example, a Ciroc advertisement for liquor, and they'll show a picture of P. Diddy with his shades on in his suit and advertising a liquor. They put these images in these neighborhoods to make the young people feel like, wow, I want to be like P. Diddy.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the shades on. He's got the suit on. But I can afford that liquor, so that's a way for me to afford this liquor and afford his clothing. I can be like him. Meanwhile, they have these guys buying these liquors and these clothing, these urban clothing. He's not walking around with his own clothing on. He's walking around with very expensive suits and going to all kinds of expensive uppity parties that have nothing to do with hip hop culture.
Yeah,
right? He's got the young people on the street level wanting to be like him, pulling up their pants and sniffling and, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? And giving each other daps and stuff. That's how you keep people down. And it creates this false image that I'm going to be like this gentleman right here that's made $500 million. How am I going to get there? Okay, he's got a liquor up. He's got a cologne out. He's got clothes out. He's got records out. And it's a very, very false thing. And sorry to say that these guys do not care about the way these kids are growing up. That's why we would almost need a machine that would be as big as an MTV or a BET or the biggest radio stations that would counter their messages. You know, if we could figure out a way to come up with a real hip-hop industrial program that can fight those airwaves and fight those internet messages and say, okay, this is what real hip-hop is about. This is what real music is about. This is what real artistry is about. This is how you really make it, you know. Then we can counter-react those messages. But until then, this machine is so huge, it's just pretty much overrunning everything that the positive artists and entertainers are trying to do. Because, you know, you got to remember, there's 20-something years in a game now that they've been this thing and manipulating this thing. You know, I can't really put an exact year on it, but I would say pretty much since rap music started making it huge, I don't know, 1984, 85, when the record label started figuring, okay, hey, we got something here. This music could become huge. Then they started twisting and turning it into their own thing. This is how we want this to be, you know, and it's been out of control. And the only people that can control it are the people that are really behind real hip-hop urban culture that has a positive overview, not what we're seeing on TV, not what we're being fed through the media. You know, even a lot of these reality TVs, man, I don't even watch the shows because I'm pretty much disgusted by them. But, you know, you have like, Hip Hop Housewives or whatever it is, you know, Hip Hop and Love and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, first of all, it's not hip hop. It's just a bunch of rich people running around and makes these young ladies feel like they're them and these young guys feel like they can be the guys on the show.
Right. I watched that show too. You know?
It's a huge infrastructure of lies. You know, you got to remember, lies always beget more lies. Okay, the truth stands alone by itself, but lies are the lies to strengthen. That's what the devil needs. He needs more and more lies to strengthen his cause. What is his cause? His cause is to fight God's cause, which is the truth. So really, to fight that truth, we have to have that one great truth that can just knock those lies out, because those lies are just perpetually growing, growing, growing. And we're so far in right now that, you know, if you were to sit down and talk to the average young person, by the time they're like 10, 11, 12 years old, their whole mental is construed with urban culture, you know, the fads that are coming up with all social media stuff and the music and the movies and, you know, even their social lives. It's like you know, and then you have the parents that plug these things into their kids too, because those parents may have grew up in a time where, you know, real hip hop and stuff like that was being injected into them, but somewhere along the line, they, along with the culture, because of the lies and because of the media, they got misused too. So it's just a big cycle that's never going to fix itself. You know what I mean?
All right, guys. I want to say this. Every now and then we come up with a topic that it just seems like you cannot get, you're not going to get enough information out on it. If it's okay with you guys, and I just silence everybody, Mike, for a moment. If it's okay with you guys, I'd like to extend the show to the next part, because usually we go into music. But sometimes I think it's important just to get the message out. And right now, I see a need to finish up this topic for the next hour. How you guys feel about
that? That's all right.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm loving it. I haven't had a good conversation like this about music in a long time, so I'm definitely with it.
Okay, awesome. I'm going to go to a quick break. We're going to come when we return. And it's going to be very brief. I'm just making sure I'm dotting my I's and crossing my T's. So y'all stay with me. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Just getting it in. And as you can see, we got a non-stop panel here. And if you're not tuned, locked in and loaded right now, you should call in 213-559-2995. The number again is 213-559-2995. Looking forward to connecting with you.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
Gospel, hip-hop, pop, R&B, calling all genres of music. Hip Hop National Radio is ready to give you the chance of a lifetime with our Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Hip Hop National Radio, in conjunction with Poetic Inc., is gearing up for a promotional campaign that will sweep the nation. Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Yes. Hip Hop National is taking your music to the streets in all the major cities across America. Wait, there's more. Flyers on Fire campaign will go viral as well, attacking all the major social networks, Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, and more. The Flyers on Fire campaign is designed for you, the artist, to hit many major markets to promote your music at the fraction of the cost. Hip Hop National Radio is all about teaching you how to take your music from the studio to the bank. Our mission is to assist you in spreading the good news about your music while making a profit. Get in now. Log on to HipHopNationalRadio.com. Remember, promotions are the key to making your project a success. Hip Hop National Radio has the network to take your project to the next level. Our packages start at $85. Call 954-461-3398. That's 954-461-3398 for more details.
Hi, this is Pastor Chris Willingham, founder and pastor of Crimson Line Ministries Atlanta. We are so excited about a new strategic partnership between Crimson Line Ministries and Hip Hop National Radio. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and every time zone in between, we're going to be reaching out to a new global community with a message of the Kingdom of God, a word that will encourage you and give you the tools you need to use your God-given gifts and your passions to inspire and encourage others. This is the point where the music community and the Kingdom of God come together to begin transforming our homes, our cities, and our nation. Please join us this Sunday night and every Sunday night as we begin this mighty move of God. God bless.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, and we're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, and tonight we're talking about, is there a lack of originality in today's music? And before we went to the break, I mean, we decided that we would extend the show. Shaku have joined us, and I see that she raised her hand. Shaku, welcome to Hip Hop National. Please state your name. Well, state it is what it is that you do and where you're calling in
you
from.
You just said my name. You just said my name.
That's why I stopped that. Don't
my
give me
gosh, guys. What the world? This is a crazy world. Whatever. Anyway, my name is Shaku, better known as Shaku Star. I'm calling from the MIA. So what questions do you want to ask me? Because I'm ready.
All right. Well,
I'm ready.
Well, actually, we were just I don't know, lost my space, but what I want to know is can you fry a pork chop? Raw Dog really want to know this. My
Lord,
question is
the pork chop.
my question for you guys is, do you think the vulgarity of today is interfering with the message? We did touch bases on it, but and I think it was Legs who was saying it, or no, it may have been Azura. I don't remember, but all I'm saying is I think the message sometimes in the music is, you know, when you got every other word, and don't get me wrong, this is what I see, where there's no originality at. When music is being submitted to us, the first thing out of just about, I'll say about 8 songs out of 10, the first word that comes out of their mouth is "What's up, my N-I-G-G-A?" And then it's "F the world," you know, and "F this," and I'm not kidding. Those are the submissions that we're getting. And then they get into the message. And then it's so, don't get me wrong, but for me, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm going to go to the next song. But you may have had a powerful message in the song, but you never got to it because you're a copycat of everybody else who's doing the same thing. It's okay to copy, but make sure you're copying the right cat. I got that from Charlie V. So just wanted to let you guys know. that wasn't original. I got it from somebody else. But true. Yeah. But 706, please go ahead. Shaku, go ahead and finish. That's the question. What do you think about the vulgarity?
To be quite frankly honest, I mean, I don't know. I can't. The only thing I can say about that is with originality, you know, there's rare. There's very few. For those that have originality, they have timeless music, classical music. But then, you know, you have some artists that are, you know, you can compare and contrast to where they actually took from original and classical legends and kind of made their own too. And you can appreciate that. But right now, the duplicates, I think, the music that you're talking about, I don't know if I need to say this, but as far as radio, I mean, all you have to do is listen to radio, and you can see the continuing repeated jingles that are tireless and that are popularized. And basically, popular by demand is what counts, you know, population control. Has a big play in that, in originality. Followers have a big play in that, you know, because it's one follower to, you know.
Okay. Shaku, you said that?
Basically, that's all I have to say. I got people calling in the phone while I'm trying to talk. But, yeah, that's
okay.
Basically all I got to say.
All right, thank you very much for your addition to the topic. 706-267.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Can y'all hear me?
We all
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What's going on, people?
Everything's going on, man. What's happening? How are you doing today? And who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
Where are
you calling
me from? Trinity. I'm calling
Trinity?
From Augusta, Georgia.
Welcome to the show, Trinity. Do you have anything you'd like to add to the topic? Or do you have a statement or comment that you'd like to make? Is there a lack of originality in today's music? And right now we're talking about the vulgarity that's in it.
As far as the originality goes, I mean, with the vulgarity, I mean, it kind of does, like you said, it throws it out the window, you know, whatever you're trying to, you know, bring to your audience. Because with all the cussing and stuff, I mean, to me, that's a lack of originality. I mean, anybody can get on the mic, anybody can cuss, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, as far as bringing a positive message or, you know, message or trying to get your point across, I mean, that's where it comes from. I mean, you know, the cussing, that does... I mean, it kills the vibe on it.
I just think that there was a time in the music that there was a way to, you know, you get your message across, like Marvin Gaye, he got his message across. I think Luther Vandross got their message across. I go to some rap artists. I think Tupac got his message across. Tribe Called Quest. They got their message across, even Will Smith. But without, and don't get me wrong, I've heard Tupac definitely put down the language. But in reality, the guy was such a dynamic storyteller. You would buy his album because you knew he had something to say. It's not every song that was on his track that you just couldn't listen to. And that's
right,
a fact.
Right. I mean, it's just, to me, I mean, if I hear, you know, cussing and, you know, people saying the N-word in the song, I mean, I just turn it off. I mean, it could be, like you said, it could be something, you know, it could be a message in there somewhere or something, you know, people can grasp to, but, I mean, it just kills it.
Right.
As far as
I agree with that.
Being, you know, lyrically eloquent, I mean, the cussing, I mean, that's not a parameter of it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think hip-hop music is always, you know, hip-hop music's always had some kind of profanity, you know, whether, you know, it was blatant curse words or if it was, you know, like really, really edgy storytelling because hip-hop came from the streets. However, we have to remember that along with the talent, ways of being able to express yourself without excessively cursing, without excessively talking dirty, hence old school artists up until whatever point in time where the music went out of control with all those different kinds of languages. But I think personally, and I'm pretty sure everyone here in this call would agree as well, the language and the cursing, that really zaps the talent out of the music. Because like Homeboy said, I'm not an MC myself, I'm a DJ, but I can get on a microphone and throw a bunch of curse words in there and do some rhymes. And, you know, may not be good rhymes, but, you know, if you're just cursing and talking a bunch of trash, then it's really not talented music, you know what I mean? And like I said earlier, you know, I listen to the music and I cycle through hundreds of songs a week. And I can honestly only really listen to like the first 30 seconds of a song. Once they start cursing immensely, I'm like, okay, that's enough. This one's going to be good for the club, or this one's going to be good for a mixtape, or this one's going to be good for the radio. I honestly listen to a lot of music nowadays just to know where to place things. I don't really get a lot of enjoyment out of listening to it because of those ingredients in the music, you know, that excessive vulgarity, you know what I mean? It really zaps the quality of music. I don't care how great your story is. If there's a bunch of craziness in it with language, I'm not interested. You know what I'm saying? I'm not interested because I'm tired of it, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people are tired of it. And, you know, we have to remember, too, it's not just the record companies that are dishing this music out to people. People have a choice whether they want to listen to it or not and whether they want to better their lives and their kids' lives. We're the consumers. We're the buyers. We're the power behind whether these records get bought and get, you know, the concert tickets. People come to shows. If people want to better their lives and say, hey, listen, I'm tired of listening to this kind of music, man. They're degrading women too much. And if the women stand up and say, hey, I'm not going to listen to this stuff because every song that this guy comes out with is talking bad about women. We have a certain control on controlling the music ourselves because it's like anything. It's like a product in the store. If you don't buy it, they don't sell it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, it would take a mass amount of people and probably a while for that to happen, but it's always better to start now than never do it. You know what I'm saying? So it goes both ways. It's the record companies dishing this music out and the lack of talented artists, and then it's also the consumers. It's the people that don't want to better their lives as well, because face it, fellas, hip-hop music is the only degrading music out there besides rock music as well. Rock music and hip-hop music. That degrades people and destroys community development the way it does. I mean, you know, until the day that a country pop singer can come out and diss another country pop singer, hey, I want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? I want to hear that. That would be interesting to me.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to me. If we can get some kind of soul singer to come out and say, hey, I don't like what this guy did, I'm going to make a song about him. Now, that's going to be interesting. But we're so used to that happening in hip-hop when this record comes out or this album or whatever it is. Okay, we heard this person spit. We heard this person talk about he's going to pump 9 bullets into homie. You know, he's going to do this and that. He's going to bang his girl. Okay, we're tired of hearing those things. We want to hear lyrics. We want to go back to lyrics, and we want to go back to creation and sensationalism. You know what I mean? That's really what I want to hear. I mean, I'll plug tune into any kind of record where I'm going to have some really dope lyrics, you know. And we know who those artists are. If such and such was to go against such and such nowadays, some two legendary artists, we're going to tune in like, yo, okay, this guy's, first of all, he's been in the game for 25 years, and he's got lyrics, and I know he's not going to have to put a bunch of vulgarity and craziness into it. I want to hear that record. I want to hear those disses. But the second you're going to hear, you know, I don't want to name any specific artists, but you hear whatever cat go against, you know it's going to be a bunch of BS off the back. You know, I don't have to even listen to the record, and you guys are very educated in music and stuff. You don't even have to listen to the record. You know it's going to be BS. So that's where it comes from. You have to look at both sides of the coin here. You know, it's the consumers also, but it's the record companies and the artists. And unfortunately, that's the way it is. The artists see that's the only way they can survive if they come out with this kind of music that the record companies are going to pump. Okay, they want to hear this bubblegum stuff. They want to hear this, you know, this crazy stuff. You know, that's the only way they're going to make the $1 million because they're giving the record company what they want.
I wonder, do they get tired of it? Like, I mean,
the record companies? Of course not.
Oh, no.
No,
as long as they make
the
money, it's all good.
The artist themselves. The artist themselves.
You know what?
When I listen to it, I call it aspirin for music because it gives me a
headache. Some of the artists do get tired, but see, you have to remember, when you get signed to record labels, in most cases, you're owned by that label, so you do what they want you to do. I'm pretty sure there's at least a small number of artists that are really tired of it. Man, I don't want to do this, but this is what's in my contract. This is what I have to do. You know,
yes,
a majority of them are just going
to listen to the radio.
Right. A majority of the artists are for it. Okay, they want to do it because they see the lavish lifestyle. They don't really care about the culture. But there's that small percentage of artists that actually really want to follow their own destiny and do the kind of music they want, but they're in that entrapment now. Once you sign that contract, once you start doing those shows and you get behind this kind of producer or this kind of executive, you do what they want you to do, regardless of what your mindset is. You know, we've all seen documentaries of groups that have came up and weren't happy with their situations. And, you know, I think the documentaries that come out, they might capture a really good glimpse of how those artists and what they went through, but you're really never going to know what those artists go through unless you behind the scenes, you know?
My apology. I closed the wrong mic. You said you're not going to hear it unless you are behind the scenes. That's what you said. I apologize.
Right.
I cut your mic.
Unless you can be a fly on the wall, you know, in reality, in real life, you know. But we just need, you know, we need more truth-telling stories and music and documentaries out there because, and, you know, unfortunately, the kids, they're not going to really pay attention, but because they're going by what the newest music is, the newest fad, you know, with the newest reality show on TV is, you know, what star is doing what star, and, you know, it's become a huge soap opera. It's become a huge soap opera. It's not even really music anymore. You know what I'm saying? I just want to hear the music.
I just
want to see the talents. I want to see the lyrics. I want to see the. I don't care about what people are doing in their personal lives and who's dating who. That's stupidity. That's stuff, you know, that makes people feel a certain way, and it makes people want to live the life that these stars are living, and their eyes are off the real talent in music that they should be paying attention to.
Area code 404-984. Please state your name, where you're calling in from, if you have a question or comment for any of our guests or hosts tonight.
This is Queen calling from Chesapeake, Virginia.
Queen, welcome to Hip Hop National. Go ahead.
Hi, I was listening to y'all talking.
And you have a question or comment? Because I saw you raise your hand.
Well, yes. I mean, I agree with what you're saying. You know, it's not old school anymore. It's more craziness now that they are singing about and rapping about. You know, all they're rapping about is money and bling and ass and this and that and that, and they're not really teaching the kids the real reality like Bob Marley used to, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I understand where you're coming from when you say that as far as music is concerned.
I agree. Well,
I'm also an old school person. I'm not a rap person, so...
All right, I
you know, I'm more like KRS-One, you know, when he used to do his stuff back in the days. He used to do, you know, educational rap or whatever
right.
he used to spit, you know. So, you know, that was one of them that I liked. MC Light, she used to do a little something back in the days. I don't know what she's doing now. Special Ed,
mm-hmm.
you know, a couple of those people.
I can just tell you just in recent, you know, we saw the TLC thing over the weekend, for at least I've seen it, and I don't know if you guys seen it, but I can tell you the reason why I appreciated the program. For one, it told us a little bit about the music business, things that most people are not hearing or seeing. Then the other part of it is you saw that struggle that they went through and how they were ripped off in the game by some of the people that we saw as talented people. But they were ripped off in the game because they didn't know their business. They didn't know the business of music. And then, you know, and then the other part is that the originality of their group, I'll be honest with you, I thought they wrote a good story. And you saw why their stories came about with what was interacting within their lives, things that was taking place. To me, that's creativity, being able to tell a story and have other
there
people
you go.
With it based on what
yeah,
you
and, and translate the story. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's just like I was telling my kids the other day. I said that's why I love country, because with country, they could take a story and just throw it in there and be like, and that sounds so good. They'd be like, oh, my goodness, wow, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's original.
You get older,
I love that.
Yeah, when you get older, you start appreciating more music. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, it was all just strictly hip hop. You know what I mean? But now, I mean, you know, as a music lover, as a dancer, as a DJ, I love all kinds of music that I would never give a chance to as I was a child. But I'm older now, and I appreciate those different forms of music
mm-hmm.
for the creativity aspect. You know, for the sincerity of the artist. You know, for the storytelling, all of those different little nuances that, as a kid, I didn't pay attention to. You know, so I think it's going to be one of those things where people are going to have to wake up. You know, eventually, hopefully, some of them do wake up. Maybe some people never will. But I think as you get older, and if you get a little bit more mature, and you start seeing
mm-hmm.
life in different aspects, then you will grow up, and you will appreciate different kind of music, and you'll say, okay, that's garbage, that's trash, but this is good music. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, it's really all, you know, coming of age. That's one of the most important kind of separates people from, you know, staying behind and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I can't wait for you to hear my son. You know, his stage name is Jason Sabat. No, he...
We want him. Could you get him up on our show? Just upload
come
the music
on.
Right here on Hip Hop Nation.
They want to come hear you. Come on.
No, we don't want to hear him
can
now.
Come...
We want you to upload his music.
You want
so
me to upload something?
Back. Yes, upload it.
Hold on. You tell him what to do. Hold on.
Okay.
Tell him what to do here.
Hello.
Upload your music at www.hiphopnational.com. We definitely want to hear it. We're waiting for the submission. I got people waiting for it right now.
All right. I'm not at an internet source right now, so I can't really upload it.
All right. As soon as you can, you make sure you write this down because it's important. www.hiphopnational.com.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure your music is ready, and if you don't know what we mean by that, I'm sure I'll let one of the DJs tell you. Legs, can you tell them what Radio Ready is?
Yep, Radio Ready is basically when your song is finalized, like when you go into a studio and you record the record and the engineer finalizes the music. If the record is mastered, if it sounds well-rounded, you know, professionally sounding, you know, you make sure your music is make sure the music is mixed and mastered. So I don't know if you record at a professional studio or if you have outlets to record your music, make sure that it's radio ready to where it could sound well on the radio. That's what he's saying, basically.
And also, also in this particular format, when we also looking at minus the vulgarity, because we have all sorts of people come on this program, from gospel to rock to pop, R&B, all of it. And the way we can meet in the middle ground is to keep it clean.
Right. That's another part of radio readiness, too, is if the record is clean.
Yeah. All right, guys. It's been a heck of a topic tonight. I'm going to go around. I'm going to start with Ari from Queen's phone. Do you have a question or comment for the guest and as we finish out tonight's show? Queen, 404-984. You guys got? Do you have is your question's been answered? Everything you need to know.
Hello?
Okay, let's move. Queen, has your questions been answered as far as the show is concerned tonight?
Yeah, I guess. My son had the phone, so I didn't hear what you said in the end. But I appreciate the time you gave me
and
is the website the one that's on the flyer?
www.hiphopnational.com.
Okay.
Okay, what flyer? You have a flyer in your hand?
Yeah, Dante gave it to him. Dante is his manager and promoter.
Okay, on the back of that flyer it says hiphopnational.com.
Okay.
On what? Well, I won't say back. On one side of the flyer, at the very bottom, it says hiphopnational.com.
Yeah, I seen it somewhere up there. That's why I was asking if that was it.
Yeah, and upload your music there, okay?
Okay,
we're
thank
go to
you
Shaku.
Very much.
You're welcome, Shaku. I see that
yes,
you raised your
raised
hand.
Yes, I've raised my hand for the longest.
Say it again?
I've been raising my hand for the longest.
All right.
Anyway, I just want to make this point clear. There's a lot of creative artists that are out right now, and some of them are not old school, and some of them are not even, like, strictly hip-hop, although I'm a hip-hop fan. But I think that, it's a lot of commercial music that I do like. It's not that we're saying that, you know, it's just, you know, a whole range of garbage out there or whatever, and not originality. There's a lot of original artists that are looked over. So what my thing I'm saying is that I love all different types of music. I just don't like garbage. That's it. As simple as that. You know,
I can totally relate to that.
You know the difference when you hear it. You can feel it. It's called passion, and that's the bottom line of it. No matter what way around it, it can't go no way around it. It's passion. If you don't, you have it or you don't.
That's right. I agree. Well, I'm going to give you guys the final say-so for the night, because, and I'm going to get you, do you have any tips and advice that you'd like to lend to our listening audience? I'm going to start with you, Glenn. We got 3 minutes on the show.
Yeah, I would like to challenge everyone that's listening and everyone that's on this radio show tonight to not so much try to censor the artists, but to try to educate them and give them some music history for them to research for themselves, because the images that they are being given aren't truthful images. And for us to try to just beat it into their head that they need to clean their music up is not going to work, because the machine that perpetuates that is just too large. But what we can do is get them to research music, not just hip-hop. Hip-hop comes from music.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to research and find out what made great artists and what they did to get where they are, instead of looking at these false images. And I'm going to use a name right now, like a Puffy and these guys. They don't realize it. They don't realize that this guy doesn't really own Ciroc. They think he really owns Ciroc. But if they get online and they do the research, they will find out that Samsung owns Ciroc. These are major corporations, man, with billions of dollars that's pushing this machine to teach our children to be ignorant. And it's our job to do as much as we can to undo it.
That's right.
And that's pretty much what I have to say.
I agree with
that. All
right,
guys, I'm going to let you guys know that the show really ends in just about a minute. So who's bringing you the best tips and advice in the music business? What show would it be that?
Hip-Hop National Radio.
That's right.
Get on the bus, all right.
The key to success is determination, man. Determination, passion, love for what you do. Hey, Poetic, man, thank you for having me. And anyone else that wants to look me up, this is Daddy Long Legs. You can look me up on Facebook as Daddy Long Legs, like the spider.
All right, you're listening to Hip-Hop National Radio. We got to close out the show. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you for having me.
So y'all definitely for being here. Y'all take care. Good night, everybody.
God bless.
All right.
HipHopNational.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.